take this off so I can sing. We're so glad you're in the Lord's house today. The Lord's give us another beautiful day to get together and worship and praise Him. And we're just so glad that you're here. We've got several folks that are off visiting today and taking a little vacation, but we're glad that you've chosen to come and worship with us today. A couple of things I will say. Plenty of Samaritan's Purse boxes here for you. And if we can have them in by the second Sunday in November. So that gives you another month, basically, to get them together. And let me add one other thing. Now, today, there's with some folks out, we have some extra spaces. But if we have visitors and we're full, some of y'all just be nice enough to get in the choir. I've been talking to some folks about coming, and they promised me that they would. Folks that are not members of our church. And yeah, so if they would come, and you might want to sit in the choir or somewhere, let them have your seat, and so they'll feel welcome. Now, today, there'd be plenty of space for them. Some other days, there wouldn't be. But just keep that in mind as we go along. May we pray. Father, it's good to be in the Lord's house, and we just thank you that you meet us here. And you meet us wherever we are. We thank you now for the Spirit of God. We welcome you. May you be lifted up, honored, and glorified. Lord, as we pray, as we fellowship, in all that we do, Lord, may we honor you. Father, we pray for the president. We pray for peace in our nation. We pray, Father, for people that we know that are lost and unchurched and backslidden. Father, we pray for people that are hurting. So many, many needs around us. And Father, I just pray that the Spirit of God would touch their hearts. Draw the lost to Jesus. Reclaim the backslidden. Comfort and encourage those that are hurting. And we thank you, Father, for doing it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, good morning. We're good to see you all this morning. It's good to have you all in the service today. And we're going to recognize, since this is the 1st of October, believe it or not, here we are in October. I tell everybody this is the year that really didn't happen. Everything we'd like to have happened necessarily didn't. But we're here, and we're safe, and we're blessed. I'm going to recognize the birthdays for the month of October. The birthdays for the month of October. Jordan Linker, October the 7th. Jim Hopkins, October the 8th. Rita Linker, October the 13th. Greg Edwards, October the 16th. Bethany Linker, October the 21st. Lionel Hahn, October the 22nd. And Brenda Burris, October the 31st. Did I miss anyone? Betty?
You missed my little great-grandson.
Okay. Okay, well, we'll get him added on. Get him added on there. Thank you.
Lox.
What now?
Lox.
I didn't hear you.
Lox means his name.
Loxley. Oh, yeah, I understood that. Yeah, okay, Loxley. I couldn't understand, man. I'm sorry. Okay. Anyone else? All right, let's sing Happy Birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
And our anniversaries for the month of October. Jeremy and Shelby Barbie, October the 1st. Gary and Tonda Hamilton, October the 18th. And Gary, I see you're here alone this morning. That doesn't mean anything, does it? Okay. Yeah, I understood that. Just kidding. And Tony and Ruthie for October the 21st. All right. Congratulations to the anniversaries. Let's give them a hand, please. All right. I have some announcements for you. All right. Our total for the NC North Carolina Missions offering was $900. I think that was a very nice, very good offering for us, and that was great to do that. And pastor's already touched on Samaritan's Purse, the shoe boxes. They're right over here. Please get them and take them with you. And let's go ahead and use all of those, and more so than that. I'm kind of pleased to be able, we're all pleased to tell you that Wednesday night services are going to resume again. We're going to bring our Wednesday night prayer services back. And starting next Wednesday night, we will have our prayer service here in the basement. In the fellowship hall, everything will be done. In the same way we do here, it'll be set that way. It'll be social distancing will be involved, and a mask will be requested. So, but please come Wednesday night at 6:30. And I'll get Jeff Cato. We'll put out a little one call, remind everybody of what we're going to be doing on that. Then next Sunday is Pastor Appreciation Day. This each year we have a time set aside specifically for our pastors and to say thank you. And next Sunday is going to be the day here. So we ask that you please come and prepare to do. We're going to do a love offering for our pastor and for Pamela. And we want to be sure that you all are prepared for that. So, and that's all the announcements I have. Anyone got any announcements other than that? All right. Let's go to our prayer request. Jeff Kay. Jeff Kay will be having a heart cath Tuesday. Jeff's been very uncomfortable. He's having some pain, and he's also having some side effects from surgery. So Jeff needs our prayers. Lori sent me a note and says, lift him up, especially lift him up. And so we want to do that. And let's remember Jane Hunsucker. That's the lady that was on my prayer chain for cancer. Bob and Clara Hudson are also in a prayer chain. And for them, we need to concern them. Heart conditions are involved there. Let's keep them in our prayers. Don't forget Mary Dunnigan. Mary's still in need of prayer. Let's pray for her. Let's pray for our president. Let's do that. Let's lift up President Trump this morning as he has contracted the coronavirus. Let's pray for our nation as a whole, and let's lift up North Carolina. North Carolina seems to have gotten to be a hot spot, and it's one of those states now that's listed as one of the hot spots in the nation for the increase in coronavirus cases. So let's pray for our state. Anyone else have any prayer requests? Lionel. With the virus?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I didn't get it.
Ron Honeycutt.
Ron Honeycutt, okay. Oh, okay. So he has the virus as well?
Yes.
Okay.
I spoke to Bob this morning, and Sister Doris.
Yeah.
In the hospital, I've been well all. Just got to have surgery.
Okay.
Very weak.
Okay. All right. Anyone else? Yes.
The family of Myra Ledbetter.
Myra Ledbetter. Okay. All right. Anyone else?
The caretaker.
Yes. Okay.
They're around it all the time.
Yes.
And then Tracy works at the house.
Okay. Definitely need to keep those caregivers in our prayers. They are out on the front line every single day. Anyone else? Then let's pray, please. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for a Lord's Day that we can be here, Lord, and be in our places, Lord, to worship you. Place in our minds and our hearts a time of worship. And Lord, we thank you so much for the blessings you give us. Lord, even before I ask you for anything today, I want to say thank you. Thank you for the fact that we're here. Thank you for the fact that our congregation is healthy. And Lord, we know that we have some colds and we have some hurtings here and there. But Lord, we're this thankful people, and we do thank you for it, Lord. There's a list of people, Lord, that we have on our prayer list that we want to be specific about, and we want to lift them up to you. We pray for Jeff Kay, Lord, and we know he has a heart cath coming, and we also know he's been experiencing some side effects. And Lord, we pray for Jeff. We pray, Lord, that you would heal his body. We lift up Jane Hunsucker as she's battling cancer. Bob and Clara Hudson, we pray for them. For Miss Mary Dunnigan, Lord, we continue to pray for her as she's a distance away from us now, Lord, but we want to lift her up to you. And Lord, you can touch her body. Lord, we want to remember our president, President Trump, this morning as he is battling the virus. We know, Lord, that he needs a touch from you, and we pray for that. We pray for our nation as a whole, Lord, and for a time of healing. We pray for a time of peace, a time of understanding. And then North Carolina, Lord, as we seem to continue to increase in the number of cases of the coronavirus, Lord, we pray for all of us in North Carolina that we may be attentive to what we have been asked to do. And remembering, Lord, that you charge us with doing the possible, and you'll do the impossible. And Lord, we hope that we'll follow those rules. We pray for Bill and Shelby Balcom this morning and Ron Honeycutt, who have the virus. We lift them up to you. We pray for Miss Doris, Lord, as she's in the hospital awaiting surgery. And then the family of Myra Ledbetter. We pray for that family who've lost a loved one. Now we'll turn our attention, Lord, to our service today, and we pray a special blessing upon all who will have a part. We thank you for those who work each and every week unselfishly, Lord, to make sure that things are prepared and done and serviced for you. And now we ask a special blessing upon Pastor Ed. We thank him so much. And Lord, we, even though next Sunday is a time of appreciation for him, let him know that we seriously appreciate him 24/7. Thank you for Miss Pamela and the support she gives. Go with us now, the remainder of this service and throughout the next week. And help us, Lord, to be witnesses for you. That, Lord, if there's someone there that we can show and say a word that will help them understand the need for you as a Savior. And Lord, these blessings I ask in your sweet name, Jesus Christ. Amen. We are doing things just a little bit different than today. We're going to do, now we'll be ready to sing. We want you to sing with us. We'll do our hymn sing, as we always do, each and every Sunday. Page number 2, it'll be up on the board as well. You won't need to turn to the page if you want, unless you want to. It, holy, 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 we're going to do verses 1, 2, and 4. Brenda? You can stand, please. Oh. You may be seated. The reason we did things just a little bit differently, what I wanted to do and what I wanted to accomplish was to have a blended type music service today. So I'm going to sing a song for you. It's one of the best known praise songs that I could sing for you. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome. And I certainly believe that the Holy Spirit is welcome in this place. Wes.
Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy, thou art welcome in this place. Lord, in thy presence there's healing divine. No other power can heal, Lord, but thine. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Thou art welcome in this place. Lord, there's healing divine. No other power can heal, Lord, but thine. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Thou art welcome in this place.
Sing with me now.
Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father, mercy and grace, thou art welcome in this place. Thou art
welcome, Pastor Ed.
Thank you, Leonard. That's such a tremendous song, and I pray that's the affirmation of your heart that the Holy Spirit is truly welcome. Because it doesn't matter what I get up here and say, how good or bad, if the Holy Spirit's not in it, it's wood, hay, and stubble. And if the Holy Spirit doesn't announce, anoint your ears spiritually to hear, it doesn't matter. So make him welcome. Make him welcome in the church. Make him welcome in your own heart. And that goes so good with what I want to share today. Now, if you've been listening the past 3 years, you know that I believe in a powerful gospel.
I believe that we as Christians should live victorious, powerful lives. That doesn't mean we live lives without problems. I mean, you know, you look at Paul and those other guys in the New Testament. They had multiple attacks from the enemy. In fact, Paul says there was a demon from the devil that was especially assigned to him to torment him. And yet, even in spite of all of the difficulties, they lived in great anointing, great power, great victory. And I think that the Bible, especially the New Testament, teaches that we need to be living the same way. We need to be living the same way. Now, we're going to real quickly run through a number of verses. And you might want to just write them down and go back and study them yourself. But just to remind you of where we are, what the Bible says, not what Ed Louder says, but what the Bible says. And we're going to start off in Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, verses 18 and 19. And you know, this is the passage where Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And they said, "Well, you're one of the prophets, Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the others." And then he says, "Whom do you say I am?" And then Peter jumps up and says, "You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God." And so in verse 18, he says, Jesus replying says, "I say also unto thee that thou art Peter. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Jesus said, against the church of God that marches under the banner of Jesus Christ being the Messiah, the Son of the living God, he said, hell shall not be able to stop you. The idea being, if you look at in the Greek, it's the idea of we ought to be able to kick in the gates of hell, so to speak, and rescue people that are lost and on their way to an eternity without Jesus. We are to be victorious. And then Jesus goes on to say, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And he's talking about the power that we have in many areas. And notice the sequence. He says, you bind it on earth and heaven's going to back you up. It doesn't say, you look up here and see what I've bound or what I've loosed and then you agree with me. He says, no, you walk in authority and heaven will back you up. Now that's in the red, that's in the words of Jesus talking about the authority that we have. Flip over a few pages to Mark 11. Mark 11. And this is the story where Jesus cursed the fig tree. And they come by the next day and they said, well, Lord, that tree that you cursed is dead. It's dead from the roots up. What's going on? In verse 22, Mark 11, 22, Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. Or some translations say, have the God kind of faith. Mark 11, 22. And then he says, for verily I say unto you that whosoever, notice whosoever, shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, you shall have them. Look at there. He says, you believe it, you say it, you have it. You believe it, you say it, you have it. He's talking about the power that we as believers have. And notice again, whosoever. It doesn't say, preachers. It doesn't say disciples. It doesn't say anointed men or women of God. It just says whosoever. That makes you qualify. You are a whosoever. I'm a whosoever. And he talks about the power of our words. Flip on over a few more pages to the gospel, to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. Paul talks about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that is the power of God unto salvation. And salvation is the greatest miracle. If you talk about now, when Paul writes into the Ephesians, he talks about the fact that you were dead and now you're alive. Paul talks about you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. He talks about all the change that goes on in your life. The greatest miracle of all. It's not a healing miracle, not a financial miracle, but the greatest miracle that can ever happen is when you, as a spiritually dead person, or I, as a spiritually dead person, are born again by the power of God, and we move out of that kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, out of Satan's kingdom into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Greatest miracle of all. Now, the other things are wonderful miracles. But Paul said, I'm not ashamed. The gospel can change people's lives. And so there are people that you see over here and they're sinful, or they're evil, they're ugly, they're ungodly. But they're not hopeless. If they still are living and breathing and have their mind, they can come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The gospel is still the power to bring people to salvation. Then if you flip on over to Romans 8, and Paul talks about all kind of problems in the middle of that chapter, in the end of that chapter. And then he says in verse 37 of Romans 8, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We are more than conquerors. We don't just conquer, we are super conquerors. More than conquerors, not because we're such special folks, but through him, Jesus Christ, who loved us. He talks about the wonderful power that we have as conquerors. And then let's go over and look at the verses that we looked at for a moment at the end last week. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. And John, after many, many years of living with Jesus, and then many, many, many years of living with the Holy Spirit infusing his life and Jesus being in heaven, says, this is the confidence. You know, certain people and certain things we have confidence in. He said, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that we hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. That's just unqualified. Except it's in his will, if we ask anything, God's going to hear us. And we're going to receive it. And that's John based his years and years and decades of experience. And then flip over about one page or two pages to 3 John, verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. John says, hey, I want you to prosper. I want you to be in health. And I want you to spiritually prosper. That's the will of God. So these are just five different places, I believe it is, that we've looked at that talks about the power that we have as believers. the wonderful things that are available to us, the inheritance that's ours as children of God. And the list goes on and on. If I wanted to take time, we could have gone back and looked at 5 other places or 10 other places. Don't want to do that. But what's the problem? We got to admit, not good English, but it ain't happening in many of our lives. It's just not happening for many believers. On the one hand, you have these wonderful, wonderful, wonderful promises. On the other hand, we have so many believers who are living in misery, in poverty, in sickness, in discouragement, and all kinds of other things. And many Christians think, well, that's just the way it's supposed to be. You know, in the sweet by and by, it's going to be blessed, but right now I'm just barely getting by in the nasty now and now. You know, how many of us as believers are just squeaking by? It's like at your house. If you go over there and sit down in your recliner and reach over there and flip on the switch and the light doesn't come on, you think, well, I got a problem. You look around and the clock over there is on and the light that you can see in the other room's on, so you know there's power in the house. So you know there's got to be a bulb out or your lamp's unplugged or there's something wrong with the switch or something wrong with the cord. Somehow or another, there's a disconnect between the power that's there and that light bulb. And you got to fix it before you get the light. And so it is, the New Testament gives us all of these wonderful promises. But for many of us, we don't flip the switch. Or when we try to flip the switch, we don't really see it happening in our lives. And we say, something's missing. And I think one day this week I was reading through it and all of a sudden I think the Lord gave me at least a partial answer. Turn with me now one more passage of scripture, the book of Galatians chapter 4. The book of Galatians chapter 4. And then we'll read the first couple of verses of Galatians 4. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Now think of it this way. You got this 6-year-old child. His mom and dad are millionaires. And one day while this child's in school, his mom and dad are killed in a tragic accident. Well, suddenly this 6-year-old is a millionaire. But a 6-year-old has no concept of what $1 million is, how to handle $1 million. They don't bring that 6-year-old in and say, here's the checkbook, here's the keys to your Rolls Royce, here's the keys to your Hummer. Go for it. No, but either according to the will or according to the courts, they appoint a guardian to look after the interest of that 6-year-old. And he may start off with a 50 cent a week allowance, and as he gets older, get a bigger allowance and a bigger allowance. Until finally, there's coming a day that either according to state law or according to the will, the lawyer calls him in and says, today, son, it's all yours. It's all yours. And so, here's the checkbook, and here are the keys. And here's a list of the stocks and the bonds and the bank accounts. Today, it's all yours. But what happened? He had to grow to become eligible to receive that. We have great inheritance as believers. But the sad thing is, many Christians never grow up. They can't receive because they can't grow up, didn't grow up. And there are people that, you know, they walk the aisle. They truly get born again. They go to church. They listen to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and thousands of Sunday school lessons and sermons. But it sort of goes in one ear and out the other spiritually. It doesn't get down into their heart. They may learn more and more facts about the Bible, but they don't learn to abide and walk with Jesus. They don't have a hunger and thirst for Jesus. They don't grow spiritually. And 50 years later, they're still spiritually 6 years old. And I won't name names to protect the innocent. You know, but I can, over all of these years as a pastor, it just, you know, disturbs me sometimes when I see somebody that's many, many years along in their walk with God, but it's all up here and not down here. They don't have a comprehension. They don't have an understanding of the things of God. And at this point, let me say this. I don't begin to think of myself as having arrived. You say, Ed, you know, you're acting a little superior or something. No, if you ask me, I think I'm about 16 or 17. I'm old enough in this spiritually to know that the promises are there, the inheritance is mine, and to use it just a little bit. But don't begin to be able to walk in all the blessings that I want to be able to walk in. I'm not where I was 40 years ago, but gracious, I'm not where I want to be. We've got to grow up. And we can grow fast. It doesn't have to be a year for a year for a year. No, in just a few months, a person who spends time with God and invest their lives in the things of God can grow spiritually in tremendous ways. But Paul, as he writes these Galatian Christians, says, you know, the guy, until he reaches that certain age of maturity, isn't going to work for him. You remember both Paul and Peter writes to their churches about, you know, I'd love to give you some meat, but you still can't handle it. I just got to give you milk. You remember Paul saying that? Paul and Peter both wanting their people to whom they were writing to grow spiritually. It's interesting. As far as we can tell, the most spiritually anointed, gifted church in the New Testament was the church at Corinth. And yet Paul in 1 Corinthians mostly is writing to them saying, you're not doing it right, you're messing up, you can't handle it. I was thinking about how many athletes, 18, 19, 20, they sign a multi-million-dollar contract because they're good at shooting that ball through a hoop or passing that ball or hitting the ball or whatever. And suddenly they're worth millions. And before you know it, they've got 10 or 12 high-priced vehicles in a big garage. And they're spending money like it was Monopoly money. And then they get injured or they get old and retire. And before you know it, they're out here selling autographs of $50 a piece trying to make ends meet. And if the money had been invested wisely, that first contract would have seen them through their entire life. And Paul is saying the same thing here. He's saying, God has given you a great inheritance. And as you grow and learn how to use that inheritance, you can begin to be blessed in tremendous ways, and you can be a blessing to others. You can grow, but we've got to want to grow. We've got to invest the time it grows, the effort to grow. Now, there's another element to this. If the child's guardian is crooked, then the child's guardian may try to hide the assets from the child so that he can skim off money for himself, and may never tell the child how much is really his. He may give him a little bigger allowance, but he may never tell the child, the heir, what really belongs to him. What does Jesus say? The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The devil is crooked. He's a thief. He's a cheat. He's a liar. And the devil tries to keep you and me from understanding how great and how big and how wonderful and how powerful is our inheritance. Now, one of the ways he does that is by keeping us too busy to ever discover it. You know, we're so busy, we don't spend time in God's Word. We don't spend time really, really studying God's Word. It's interesting. In my childhood of long, long ago, people used to have big front porches, wraparound porches. And on Sunday afternoon, a lot of times families would visit, neighbors would visit, and they'd sit around and discuss the Bible. Now what do? Sunday afternoon football, baseball, basketball, or let's play video games. We're so busy. And if the devil can keep you distracted so that you don't study his word, you'll never learn what your true inheritance is. Another thing the devil likes to do is lie to us. He lies to us in two ways. One, he lies to us by saying, well, now, preacher's right. That big inheritance is there. However, it's just for the super spiritual. It's just for the Billy Grahams. It's just for the preachers or the missionaries. But it's not for everyday people. What was that word I said a little bit ago? Whosoever. Whosoever. Over and over again, it's like whosoever, or to them that believe, or those who walk with me. It's always open-ended to any believer who will endeavor to receive it. The devil will lie to you in another way by saying, well, Brother Ed's right. There's promises are there, but it's not for today. It's not for today. It was only for Bible days. And there's a, you know, and Baptists are real good at this. We're secessionist. It all ended when the last apostle died. You've got to be far-fetched to make that up from the Bible. The only place in the Bible that I remember is the verse in 1 Corinthians 13 when it says, when that which is perfect is come, then that which is imperfect will be done away with. And folks like to stretch that verse to mean that when the Bible was completed and everybody agreed that this is the complete Bible, there was no need for powerful spiritual gifts anymore. But if you go back and read the New Testament, as a lawyer would read the New Testament, it doesn't say, like there in 1 John, you pray in the will of God, He's going to hear you, He's going to answer. Oh, until the Bible is finished, or until the last apostle dies, or whatever. It doesn't say that anywhere. Or when it says, this promise is to you and to those who are afar off. Oh, until the last apostle dies. Or it doesn't say that anywhere. Read it for yourself. And if the devil can get us believing, if he can keep us too busy to learn the will of God, he's got us. If he can keep us believing it's only for the super spiritual, he's got us. And if he can keep us thinking, well, that was just for Bible days, but not for now, he's got us. He's a liar. He's a thief. And he doesn't want you walking in victory and power. He wants you miserable. He wants you poor, sick, and sorry. If you're poor, you don't have money for missions. If you're sick, you're too busy. You're too busy looking after yourself to minister to others. If you're sorry, you're just a lousy advertisement for Christianity. Now, last week, in one of the verses we looked at, talked about abiding in Christ and His Word abiding in us. And to abide in Christ, we've got to study and study and study God's Word until it becomes a part of us. We wake up in the middle of the night and we realize that down in our spirit we've been quoting Scripture or maybe singing praise songs like Leonard had for us a few moments ago. We wake up in the morning and the first thing that comes to our mind is the wonderful inheritance we have as children of God. All during the day, it's just a part of our life. And just think about it. Whatever your need is, I mean, if your need's wisdom, if your need's guidance, if your need's healing, if your need's finances, if your need's something with your family or marriage or dealing with difficult people, get your Bible out and find all the verses that deal with that particular subject. And study them and meditate on them and let them get not just up here but down in your spirit. And let those verses become such a real part of you that they make a difference. And when, you know, over the period of time, you know, you're going to have various needs. And if you study those particular needs, and you know, if it's wisdom, and then if you need it for guidance, and then if it's finances, all of it will become a part of your life. And then as that word becomes a part of your life, your faith grows. Because remember in Romans 10, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The more we hear the word of God, not just hear it with our ears, but hear it with our spirit, the greater our faith grows. And then as we begin to say or confess God's word, we'll receive. Folks, I believe in a powerful gospel because I believe the Bible teaches it. We have a rich, rich inheritance. It's given to us by our Heavenly Father based upon the death of His Son, Jesus. It's not based upon our good deeds or our good looks. It's based upon the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, He died to give us an inheritance. He died to leave us an inheritance. And that inheritance is ours all through the New Testament. I challenge you to discover your inheritance. Believe your inheritance. Receive your inheritance. Enjoy your inheritance. It would be amazing. It would be amazing what God could do with people who really, really, really know what the Bible says and what God promises if we'd walk in it. Vance Havner, an old-time Baptist preacher, had this, he had a way with words. And he said, the church has been subnormal so long that if ever it begins to act normal, biblically, then people will think it's abnormal. We would be amazed what God would do in our lives. I just wish I'd learned all of this about 40 years ago. I wouldn't be 16 spiritually, 17, 18. I might be 25 or 30 by now. I challenge you. Learn your inheritance and believe it. Walk in it. Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you for the wonderful inheritance that we have because your son died to leave us that inheritance. We thank you for the victory that's ours through Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray that not just myself, but every member of this fellowship and every person that listens to the web service will come to an understanding of how much you love us, how much you promise us, that we'll have faith grow to understand and believe and to trust and confess your word. And Father, that we who have been subnormal will become normal, even if the rest of the Christian world thinks we're abnormal. Lord, you've done so many wonderful things down through the centuries with people who just believed you and walked in that belief. Raise up a generation right before Jesus comes who believe you from cover to cover of that which we call the Bible and act upon it, that men might see our good works, the presence of God in us, and not praise us, but give glory and honor to Jesus Christ, who's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the soon coming King. And Father, I pray your blessings, your anointing, your peace upon this congregation, upon all who are listening. In Jesus' name, amen.